Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel message for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Luke chapter 12, which we just heard. Possessions was the topic of conversation that precedes our text today, which we heard from last Sunday. What does it mean to be rich toward God? Our gospel message this morning addresses attitude toward possessions and the kingdom of God. The disciples were taught to pray earlier, and yet they seem to be distracted from the instruction they just received. These catechumens of Jesus, on their journey to Jerusalem with their shepherd, lose a sense of priority. They lose their sense of order. They lose focus. The fourth petition says, "Give us this day our daily bread." What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So what is meant by daily bread, Dr. Luther says? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, a devout and faithful ruler, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. When Jesus says this command, Jesus' command is quite straightforward in our text, isn't it? Especially if you're looking for directions in the Bible, these commands are quite clear. And in our text, it gives you an order of priority. So consider your place in life. Consider your place according to this fourth petition. God indeed gives much, and he gives out of his divine love and divine goodness. And I think Dr. Luther did not miss a single beat of the hierarchy of needs when he explains this petition. So why did the disciples lose track regarding to what's important, to the point where Jesus needs to consider that they need a teaching moment? Did they forget that the Lord provides? Are they hungry on this journey? The disciples were called to follow Jesus, and our text seemed to indicate that they are distracted. They are on this journey with Jesus, and they seem that they're busy with something else. Consider for a little bit the logistics of this trip they're on. They're on their way to Jerusalem. Consider now the logistics of your life. You're on your way to the new Jerusalem. Are you hungry? Are you cold? Or do you want more in this life? Are you seeking for bigger and better? Realize that God blesses us with a lot more. It is true that we are given things that make our life easier: clothes, house, health insurance, retirement plans, and we have our families. Dr. Luther explained, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, and he gives it even to evil people. And you might think that even evil people might have more than you, but God certainly gives to everyone. But you are far more valuable to God than those people or those things in nature. Jesus, our God, makes it clear in our text that is so. So why are you anxious? Anxious about having more, or anxious about deficiencies, not having enough, God gives you out of divine goodness and love. Therefore, do not be distracted. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. This seeking is not even your work. It is not your labor. You do not have to labor for it. It is there for you because God promised it. And through faith, it is yours. And through faith, your mouth also confesses, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That means that you believe that God has made you and all creatures. He has given you body and soul, ears, eyes, and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and he still takes care of them. He still gives you clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that you have. He richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support this body and life. And all this he does out of fatherly love and divine goodness without any merit in you for all this. And then it is your duty to give thanks and praise. For this reason, Jesus can tell you in our text, fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus continues by teaching his disciples after he addresses a large crowd, a large thousands, and a man was rebuked about possession among that crowd. But now Jesus turns to a select group, and he is speaking to catechized ears. That is to say that the catechized ears, the ears of the catechumens of Jesus, is familiar to his teaching. These disciples confesses that Jesus is Lord, and they are now attentive to their good shepherd. And St. Luke even hints here that this is a teaching moment, that Jesus, the enfleshed Word of God, speaks. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, it is God's will for you to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus is teaching his disciples about the end of times, the completion of all things. Jesus knows that his crucifixion is near. He knows that his death is near. He knows that Jerusalem is not far from where they are. And for the disciples, that means this is a time of preparation. In this journey to Jerusalem, Jesus takes time to instruct the disciples. As he has done previously, he taught them the Lord's Prayer, and now he shows them how the gifts from the Father are connected to the kingdom. Because the followers of Jesus, you and I, are soon to be heralds of the kingdom of God through Jesus' death and resurrection. So during this journey, the disciples are distracted. And what are they distracted about? They seem to be worried about provisions. They seem to be worried about food, supply. Supply which they know God the Father provides. For you see, the disciples are to be focused on the destination of this journey, and yet they seem to be worried about other stuff. They are distracted and do not realize that the kingdom is drawing near and it is imminent. So how then Jesus, their Lord, is instilling a sense of urgency in them, that the kingdom is near. Jesus makes a transition to teach about the kingdom while addressing attitude towards earthly things. And don't the disciples notice that the Lord will provide during this journey? But yet they're looking left and right for things. They know it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes through the mouth of God. The disciples are not to go back and forth between hope and fear over the logistics of this journey. And so also are we. We shouldn't fear and go back and forth between hope and fear during the logistics of this journey on earth, waiting for the new Jerusalem. We would like be unbelievers, anxious about mere survival, and we would be indifferent to the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. There is no need to be anxious, for our Father desires to give you the kingdom. This is the reason why Jesus can tell us in a loving way and give us commands and directions about food and clothing. The things that are mentioned here, the Father have promised you. And yet, he also promised greater things. He promised to take care of this body. He promised to take care of your body. And he promised to take care of your soul. He promised to sustain this life in this earth. And this is most certainly true. That is what you confess in faith in the first article and the fourth petition, which we just heard. And Jesus now asks you to consider the ravens and the lilies. He asks you to look at God's creation. And Jesus wants to point out in this that God is the God of providence. God provides. And you have more going for you than the things in the nature. And you don't want to be this person of little faith. And I'm glad you're at church this morning, because you could be looking at God's creation in the mountains on this Sunday. Unbelievers also take the time to look at God's creation, even though they're not told so, and they find good things in it. Someone once said to me, appreciating the little things in life means that your focus and your attention is on what nurtures and sustains you in life, on everything that brings you even the smallest amount of pleasure. But if you think about this, if you focus on the things in this life, that would lead you to idolatry, focusing your attention on the things of this world. Last week we heard possessions as vanity. It leads to self-reliance. It leads to self-righteousness. But with faith, we appreciate the Word of God. We appreciate the Word of God, which sustains and nurtures us unto life everlasting. We appreciate Christ. We appreciate Christ, who brings us the greatest pleasure, and that is forgiveness of sins. So, because where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. Therefore, Jesus invites you to consider and invites you to think carefully and ponder. That is what the word consider says, and is revealing to us God's graciousness. So consider yourself in life and ask yourself, what do I treasure? For our text says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus explains why there is no reason to be worried about treasures of this world. There is no room for covetousness. There is no point to seek things for our own advantage, because these things will not make you rich toward God. As a matter of fact, maybe this is back to school month and you'll get rid of most of these. You might have garage sales or some deep cleaning. And that is not to say things does not matter, because they do, they were given to us, and it makes our life easier. It does not mean be lazy, and it does not also mean be a poor steward of what you're given. But rather, it is pointing out graciously that God is a God of providence. God supports and takes care of body and life. and even gives to all evil people. Material possessions makes us anxious. So stop going after them, or perhaps do not start going after them, because God wants you to have the kingdom where there is life. Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Therefore, our text can say, life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. That means true life is to live in the body of Christ. True life is to confess the Son of God, to enjoy the food that the Lord gives us in his body and blood, which we are members of. In his kingdom, more will be added to you, and these things are added to you. Forgiveness of sins, that's what's added to you. In the body of Christ, in the fellowship of his people, new brothers and sisters in Christ are added to you. In the kingdom, you are recipients of God's grace, his means of grace. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and there is salvation. That is to say that we now understand what given means. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, there is given. In the kingdom, there is giving and there is receiving. Given out of divine goodness. Jesus says in the text that giving is done with grace and mercy. Giving is done with grace and mercy. The Lord bless you very much. Hear the words of God of your good shepherd. Seek the kingdom of God, for there your treasures will be. Jesus humbly directs you to cast your worries away. Those who worry and upset and are distracted have little faith, and they go back and forth between hope and fear. But Jesus says, trust in God's will. Trust in God's good pleasure. It is God-pleasing for you to receive his kingdom, to receive his food, to receive his clothes. For this is accomplished for you. It is accomplished for you because Jesus arrived in Jerusalem. Jesus there died on the cross, and there he rose again for you so that you may witness with the disciples the kingdom of God. So you too now are witness of the kingdom. In your holy baptism, you also died with Christ and rose with him, and he made you a new creation. And in that, the work of Jesus, the work that Jesus has done in the Christ, means the kingdom is yours. The meaning of life lies in the shepherd who laid down his life. We reap all the benefits of his work. So cast away your attitude toward earthly things, giving them much importance, which moves you away from the trust that you have in God. The shepherd washes his flock in baptism, to be washed clean, to be covered in white robe of baptism. We are clothed with the robe of righteousness, fed with bread and wine, body and blood of our Lord. And in it, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are part of the kingdom. This is what true clothing means. Our Lord is our food, and he is our clothing. And this is what the kingdom is about. You receive the kingdom here today at this altar, a foretaste of the new Jerusalem. And in this kingdom, in this church, all give according to the gifts that the Father has given to them. All receives according to the needs the Father has laid forth. That means all give according to the gifts the Father has given to them, and all receives according to the needs, and all of us have given to the kingdom. All of us have given to the church. We are in fellowship under the body of Christ, and we acknowledge and practice what giving means, and giving means given in mercy. It is merciful giving and gracious giving. And we do this until the Lord comes. We still have this sense of urgency above us as we pray, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. However, there is no need to be anxious and there is no need to fear. There is no need to be upset. Do not go back and forth between hope and fear because Jesus reached Jerusalem and accomplished the will of God. And the true clothing that you have, you are robed with this clothing of righteousness in your baptism, and you receive the food of his grace. That is God's good pleasure. And the Father will add all the more to you. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The treasure of this kingdom is yours in Christ. To Jesus alone be all the glory, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is offering. We stand for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all the people according to their needs. Almighty God, increase our faith in your wise ways.